This is Icon Art Radio. We're already having fun. I'm here with Carolyn Waxman, my co-host, Alan Cobb, and Carolyn Waxman, the photography teacher here in town, who is really quite famous in the region as a teacher. She's one of the top teachers, and she produces results that amaze us, and that's why we're going to have an exhibit at Icon Gallery February 1st through 16th, 2013. So if you're not hearing this as a repeat, if this is a fresh show for you, come on out and see the show. You won't be disappointed. It's amazing the work that comes out of her students. And this is the adult program that she's been doing for the last 4 years, 3 or 4 years, through the Teeple Arts Institute. And this is our second week. We're coming back again with some students to talk about their experiences with Carolyn's classes. I got Judy Bales, the sculptor, who I didn't know is doing photography till just recently when I saw some amazing work that she's been doing with Carolyn. You've got the mic in your hand, so say a word or two.
Well, I'm going to go back to something we were talking about a little earlier when, Carolyn, you were talking about point-and-shoot cameras and how, you know, some professional photographers use them, such as wedding photographers, and sometimes there's a place for every kind of camera. And I can remember, or every type of tool within the camera, I guess you could say. I remember we were doing a private session once, and I was saying, I think I was feeling bad that I wasn't using any of the creative settings for what I needed to do, and it seemed that the auto setting just did the best job. I couldn't get it better by changing it. And you said, well, your camera's doing what it's supposed to do. And that, again, was one of those really simple things that was just such a revelation to me that, well, I don't have to use all of these controls if the auto does what I want it to do. I just need to know what I want to do and know how to get that best. And if it's the automatic setting, then that's great. So that over and over again in your class, there were just the simplest little points that you would make that really came home to me and made me realize how I just sometimes want to make or feel like I need to make things a little more complicated than they need to be.
Well, wouldn't you say that it's mostly about seeing that the photographer, the person who wants to express themselves is looking around and they're seeing something that's inspiring to them, and then there's this tool through which they can talk about it. And so I would imagine that it's whatever it takes to get into that rectangle, the feeling you're having about this thing in front of your face, and the various degrees of skill and all of that involved. I suppose if the automatic setting gets what you want, what mostly matters is the poetic experience you're having, and you want to get that across to somebody else somehow.
Yes, that's exactly right. If you have a camera, and particularly, it's really nice that the camera can change apertures and shutter speeds and have an auto setting and a manual setting on it. Because if you have all of those modes, then you have everything that you need in any situation from that point on at your fingertips in order to use. What you'll find out is that most people, if they have not taken a photography class and they have a camera, and they have a camera like that, they're just using the auto mode or the program mode, and that's just point and shoot. And that's completely fine. And then when they come to a workshop like this, they'll learn how to use aperture mode and the shutter speed camera controls and also manual, which basically just gives them more tools to work with in order to capture the image that they want. That's one side of it. The other side of it, as we go along through the workshops and get into particular situations in and outside of the workshops, you'll find that you're using all of those modes, you know, and you get familiar with it. So it's very easy and very quick to shift. And it is so much fun. You can hardly believe that you've created a photograph of somebody moving and you've blurred them. Because when you're looking at them, for an example, when you look at them, they're not blurred. But you can blur them with the camera. And the same thing with the low light in the night scenes that we do I have an extension to the five classes, so we start in on some of these other aspects of photography, which one of them is low light. And you can hardly believe that you can create something like that with long exposures. And all of these things are just make it more enjoyable. And once people understand just even a little bit, you don't have to understand all of it, and then it, you know, then over the years or whatever, you just understand more, or maybe you do understand all of it all at once. It's just different for each person. Then photography just becomes like your buddy. I mean, you know, you're just carrying your camera around all the time, and you just enjoy it so much that you just keep thinking of new things to photograph or seeing new things to photograph because, again, your vision becomes stronger and opens up.
It seems like the more experience you get,
the more the camera,
with the technical and getting out of the camera what you're seeing, the camera becomes more of just an extension of your own eye and your own body, and you're not having to have this separation between all these technical considerations and taking the picture.
Yeah.
So that would be why you need experience and understanding of the technical elements.
What I do sometimes is I'll pick a particular lens and a particular approach to photography. Like I'll just say, okay, I'm going aperture priority now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just leave my SLR set that way. And whenever I take a picture, I try to fit what I'm doing into leaving the aperture alone. I want to go for maximum depth of field, so I'm leaving it at f8 or f11 or something. And then I just have to conform to that. It's as though, you know, it's an arbitrary limitation, but it leads to a whole different set of photographs and a whole different way of seeing. And then at another time, I'll put on a 10 millimeter super wide. And I have things that I want to shoot that are near. I don't need a super wide, but when you shoot them up close with a super wide, it exaggerates the perspective and you get a whole new way of looking at things. And, you know, people are out there buying these peculiar little plastic cameras, which have no controls at all on them. And they're doing fine art with that because working with the limitation is another form of creativity, another whole set of possibilities.
Yeah, I think one thing that this photography exhibit at Icon Gallery is going to do in a couple of weeks is show people the versatility of the people that I've met and the types of photographs that people are taking, whether it's a still life or an action shot or, you know, a nighttime shot, something very creative. There's a wide range of, you know, subjects in that show. And a wide range of creativity, too. And it's something that was fun to do because you can see the results, you know, pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is very satisfying. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes I'll go out, take my camera, and I'll forget to change this thing or the other thing. I say, whoops, got to go back to square one. But there's this skill that's learned in the classes that helps you do that. And you do gain the confidence and the ability.
Well, a lot of it's reflexes, and I've been shooting for 55 years, and I still forget to focus. You know, I'm busy. I'm thinking, oh, that's going to be great, and I've been thinking about some other aspect of all of the controls on my SLR.
Yeah.
And then I'll forget to focus the thing, and then I'll feel like an idiot. And it doesn't create a terrific work of art. It just looks stupid. But you know, you do it. And that's part of the instrument, you know, you can think of it as a machine or a gadget, but in a sense, it's like a musical instrument. It's an extension of you. And if your attention isn't on it fully, then you get what you get. And sometimes that's interesting, but often it just means you have to do it over.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the poster of the Icon Gallery show and thinking about what everybody's been saying about the tremendous variety of images that you'll be treated to at this show. And one of the things that came to mind, I was looking at my photo of a baby, and I was thinking about how the camera, I'm a very shy person normally, but somehow having the camera has allowed me to open up more to approach people that I wouldn't normally have approached to take photos. And usually people are delighted to have their photo taken. And they'll even, you know, they'll ask, oh, can I get a copy of that? Mm-hmm. You know, can you email it to me? And even if they're not, if you can tell that they're not open to having their photo taken, you learn how to do it discreetly or, you know, maybe with a different angle, like from the back. You can take a person from behind, and it actually can be an incredible photo that way, and you're not, you know, invading their privacy, taking it in their face, you know. So, and one of the things that I learned, too, doing this in a group was I was looking at another photo on this brochure, on this poster, when we did a low-light session with these, I don't know, what do you call them, Carol? Rope lights, where Carolyn was standing there swinging these rope lights around. And so we were getting these photos that by slowing the shutter speed down, you get something that's just otherworldly. And one of the students in our group who's quite advanced technically, he says, oh, try this, you know, put it at this shutter speed and, you know, hold it open for a long time. And I got this thing that was just like, just blew me away because I, like Carolyn said, your eye, your human eye doesn't see that. But the camera does, and you can, so you can go beyond your human limitations with this camera and with this learning different techniques like this.
Yeah, once you start to see the ways to experiment with photography, it's endless. I one of the things that I still enjoy a lot is painting. Not so much painting with light in the sense of the rope light, but like shooting a large room with a wide-angle lens. And there's no way, even if you turn all the lights on, there's no way to get the room properly lit. And since you're shooting the whole room, there's no place you can put any lights because they'll be in the picture. Mm-hmm. But what you can do is you can leave the shutter open and you can walk around the room with a floodlight and shine it on everything and shine it behind things and then walk out of the picture again and you won't be in the picture. It's like magic.
Like this one.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's me.
Uh-huh. Self-portrait.
So for the listening audience, we're looking at pictures here. You're out of the, you're
it.
It
makes
of
great
it.
Radio, doesn't it?
Well, I do keep thinking it would be nice if we could actually describe or show our actual
work. We're just getting people interested in coming out to the Icon Gallery show. So I will say for those who have just tuned in when they turned on their car and took off, that this is Carolyn Waxman and her students, Kara Connick, Paul Slowick, and Judy Bales, were all part of an exhibit of 27 students of Carolyn's from her fine art photography workshops in a show we're going to have at Icon Gallery. Thanks for coming in and talking.
We're doing a little Dada radio.
Yeah, you can start telling people about the photograph you're looking at, Judy.
Well, I was just going to say what was... Actually, I'm going off to my own photograph, or to my own work. Or just to describe the effect that the... Or what I was able to do in the class, which was to... I mean, I have my own style of working in fiber, and I'm established in that. But what I was able to do was to, through the photographic medium, extend the way I work into photography. And it's a little abstract to describe, but in my fiber work, I tend to take materials and do things with that material that you don't normally want to do. Whatever it's made for, I do something else. So with my photographs, rather than, and certainly this is not such an original idea, but it's just what I do in particular, is that whatever the kind of the way we think of a picture being correct, in that it's clear, it's the color is correct, it's true, it's sharp, all of those things I don't want to do. I want all these light spots to come into my work. I want the color to be weird because I've got it on a straight setting, but the different lights in the environment are creating strange colors and strange lights, and all of those things that are kind of the standard for a photograph. I want to focus on what happens, but yet maintaining that artistic control over that is the delicate balance. Knowing my camera well enough, understanding it enough to know how I can get that how I can control that uncontrolled aspect of the camera. So that was a real kind of delicate thing for me to learn.
I just want to comment on what you just said, because this is a perfect example of photographing with your heart and your mind. It's exactly what she was saying, because she was just describing to you what she wanted to do with the camera and her vision, what she wanted. So that's the mind. And then the creative aspect is just how she's seeing it. And, of course, the technical is in there, but you know, how to capture it with the camera. But I thought that was a beautiful example of her idea with the photographs, because she was just photographing these buildings at night in Kansas City, and they're just glistening. They're beautiful. They're all gold, and there's stars everywhere, and she created that, and also the position of those buildings. You just would not have even you wouldn't think of photographing them the way that she has. You'll have to come and see the picture. Mm-hmm. We're all enjoying looking at these pictures on the table here.
It came up a moment ago, and I just wanted to ask a little bit of each student about this aspect. It's very obvious from the discussions we've been having the value that they're getting of your knowledge as a teacher, but it looks, or it sounds to me, like there's an added bonus here in the group consciousness. It sounds like the working together as a group amplifies the growth. Does anybody have anything more to say about that? It seems tangible thing here.
Totally. They are coming back over and over again to the workshop just because of the group. And there's different people, of course, there most of the time. And they get inspired by other people's work. And also, we're understanding things in the same way. So we're working together as a group.
There are several things that I've found in the class is that because there are other people there of all different technical levels or all different artistic levels, that there's, besides Carolyn doing a great job on the classes, there's a wealth of information that's shared. And it is reinforcing when you've done some work and people can talk about it right away and say, oh yeah, I guess I did do a good job on that. But Carrie mentioned a little while ago that one of the elements that's also involved in there is the serendipity of it. Mm-hmm. You take a photograph that you thought was really nice, and when you look at it either on a computer screen or in the back of your camera, there's something might be there that you didn't see while you were taking the picture, mm-hmm. and that turns out to be the focus of your work. But the help that you get from the other students is invaluable, because everybody's got a different perspective, a different point of view, and they're doing their own work like they do with whatever elements they want to use. And you get to take advantage of that. And it really solidifies your own work and the way you want to do it.
And that's part of the phenomenon of Fairfield as an art colony, I think, that getting artists together, there's a cross-pollinization that takes place that produces some greater evolution of the group as a group of artists.
Yeah, and I actually want to comment about the value of Icon Gallery in that way. Bill has created this incredible facility that facilitates that exactly, because I go to these shows, every single one, and no matter what it is, what the medium is, I find something that inspires my work. You know, I go, oh, I could try that, or, you know, that, you know, shoes, okay. I could take some photos of shoes, you know, even though these are sculptural shoes or whatever. So, and that's a wonderful thing about the Icon Gallery, and also being in this incredibly, amazingly creative small town of Fairfield, Iowa, where there's so much talent here. And I think all of those people who are listening for the first time to this program will be thrilled to come see the talent that's being displayed at Carolyn Waxman's photo workshop exhibit at Icon Gallery on February 1st, 2013.
Through the 16th. This is just a short show, so you got to get yourself up and out of your house and down to the gallery.
It's 3 months.
Time goes by pretty fast. And we just wanted to slip this in. I mean, Icon, actually, it was booked up for 2 years in the main gallery, and we wanted to slip this show in. And then I decided, when I found out that the emphasis for this art walk was on photography, that we just need to add it into the art walk schedule. And so I'm so glad we can. I want maximum number of people to see this show.
It's because of Bill Teeple that this is even happening. And I have to thank him again for being so supportive, and his wife Janet for making the posters, and then both of them for supporting this show all along the way, because it is not only photography, but what Bill does too in terms of teaching painting and drawing and painting, and all of his other main shows from very fine artists, that all of us are learning continuously about the visual arts, and they flow back and forth to each other. One aspect, like this show alone, will help somebody else, you know, do their creativity. And it's because of Bill having this exquisite gallery, which all of us can hardly believe our photos are in it, and created such a fine reputation here in Fairfield and supporting us, that we're able to do this. I just think, actually, this could be the first show of its kind in Fairfield, where we have this many photographers and this many photos going up in, you know, in a gallery and not, you know, in a store or something like that. Which has been great, too, up until now.
I can't guarantee we'll have a show every year at Icon, but I think that we are kind of launching something here. I think that this, because I'm feeling, actually, in this discussion we've had today, I'm feeling this group thing about the photographers in Fairfield, and this is just now, really, after having done it for 4 years with adults, I think this is gelling into a real photo group, that you guys could go out and have shows in other galleries and in the college museums and stuff. We should talk about how, trying to make that happen, because now you've been studying, working together, growing in group strength and consciousness, and now I think you have a real art photography group here in Fairfield that could start to do more group activities. So I'm excited that this all fell in place, because it was totally serendipity that brought this about. But I'm so excited we're doing it.
Yes, it all started with, I walked into Icon one day with a latte, and I was just having a conversation with Bill as he was walking out, and he said something that started inspiring me, and we inspired each other to do this show. And ever since that point, it has really been moving. But I also want to thank all of the 27 people that are the photographers that are in this show, because everybody is just always saying to me, how can I help? What can I do? You know, I'll do anything, and I'm just so excited. And they're constantly thanking me and you for everything that you've done.
We like it. We like all this that goes on. And you know, we're not tainted by a large art market. We're so lucky. No
That's
sales.
Right.
So we can keep on this high level of purity with our growth as artists together.
Right. We can keep it pure art. Art for art's sake.
There we go.
None of this silly commercial
I'll
business.
Tell you. I don't know. Do we have any time? Are we run out of time? Are we watching?
We've got about a minute and a half left. Okay.
That won't find a gallery like Icon in a town of 10,000 anywhere in the Midwest. And it says a lot about this art colony we have here and the people in Fairfield. Without a market, we're able to have a music scene and a theater scene and a literary scene and an art scene that that compares to any art going on anywhere. And so it's really a special place we've got here.
Well, and I think also it's worth distinguishing between the fact that there are a lot of artists in Fairfield and in some areas like photography, thanks to Carolyn's work, some of those artists are getting together and interacting with each other. A lot of times we talk about how Fairfield needs some kind of critical mass or something to pull the artists out of the woodwork. And get them really interacting with each other, because that generates a whole another level of creativity and productivity. You know, you want to show your fellow artists what you can do, or someone says something that shows that they're going in a direction you hadn't thought of, and that changes your own direction, and that kind of interaction really, really adds to the richness of the community.
Absolutely. So I want to thank Carolyn Waxman and her students for coming in and talking about the fine art photography program and the show they're going to have at Icon Gallery February 1st to 16th, 2013.
You've been listening to Icon Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.